This is How I Built My Audience with Blake Immel.
Hello, I'm Blake, and today on the show, we'll be getting free consulting from Jason Vanna. Jason is the founder of Shift Marketing and runs the Shift Insider newsletter. He's also super active on LinkedIn. He has over 26,000 followers on LinkedIn, which he has amassed simply by being bold, valuable, and engaging. Here are three things you're going to learn in this one. First, what your end goal should be on LinkedIn. Second, how to write engaging posts that actually drive leads. And third, why pods will hurt you way more than they will actually help you. Enough recap, let's roll the interview. Jason and I go back a little ways on LinkedIn, and I've had him on the podcast before, a different podcast, not this one. This is brand new. But that episode was my best one of all time. So no pressure, Jason, but if you don't deliver, I'm just going to delete the episode.
Hey, that's totally fair. That's totally fair. But my goal is this episode is going to be the best episode you've ever had.
All right, let's get it. All right, so we're focusing on LinkedIn. Now, we've talked a lot about in this podcast about Twitter, a little bit about YouTube, a little bit about building public, all different things, but we haven't focused yet on LinkedIn. So we're going to tackle that today. Maybe get into the weeds a little bit, get technical, find some things that are going to work. Jason and I were just talking before we started recording about how the algorithm has just, well, you don't want to blame it on the algorithm, but it is what it is. It's caused a lot of people some heartache lately. With that, let's just start there. How do you protect yourself against on a platform, especially LinkedIn? How do you protect yourself against LinkedIn itself, basically, from, you know, demoting your content? Like, what's your game plan?
So in reality, like, I don't think there is a way to fully protect yourself. And what most people don't understand is that with a social platform, there is an algorithm. Like Twitter, YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook, they all have an algorithm that helps decide where your content gets shown. And so to come into a platform like that and awesome organic reach and your post is hitting it and then they change the algorithm, one, go ahead and complain about it. Like people do, it sucks when you're getting like 300 reactions per post and then it goes down to 50. And that's what happened to me when it hit. It was like, I went from 300 reactions every single post to a 2-week period where they all hit barely 50. And I was like, what is going on?
Yeah.
And so I would say this, there really is no way to fully protect yourself, but the best way to handle this is to understand that it does change. And this is the beauty of content marketing, which is what social media really is. It is you are marketing using content, is that it changes. And you cannot expect what worked a month ago to continue to work today. And with content, whether it be LinkedIn, Twitter, wherever it might be, you have to always be willing to test and adjust. And I would say that's the biggest way to maybe protect yourself is to come into creating content with this idea that nothing is going to stay the same as it is forever. And so eventually you might have your structure, your strategy, like I'm always going to write about this, or this is the format I'm going to use, or whatever it might be. But understand that may only work for a month and then you have to change again. So I say this all the time, all of marketing is a giant test. That's really all it is. And so if you are looking for this specific, if I do these five things, it's always going to work forever. That doesn't exist. It may work now, but if an algorithm changes, or even if the algorithm doesn't change, just more people jump onto the platform, it's going to cause your reactions and your content to be shown and displayed differently because there's more competition. And so really what I would say is always test your content. Don't just phone it in. You have to look at the analytics, see how it's performing. If it's not performing as well, make adjustments and tweak it. Like the content I put out now on LinkedIn is drastically different. If you look a year ago today, it's drastically different. It's shorter, it's punchier, it's more to the point. I'm not doing as many lists like I was before because the platform has changed. And so your content has to change with it. And that's just true of any style of content marketing you do. People change, platforms change, the world changes. Like this time last year, there was no COVID. Yeah. So you didn't have to write about it. You didn't have everyone on LinkedIn as they are now. And so things change and your content has to change with it.
I'm really curious how this translates into owned content or owned channels. So you're talking about LinkedIn here as this, it's the share channel that you have to rely on for certain mm-hmm. things, but it can change on a dime without consulting you or asking you ever about it. And then all of a sudden, if your whole business relies on it, you might be screwed. So
right.
I'm curious what your end goals are with LinkedIn and how you translate that into an owned audience that is more reliable for example, SMS lists or email lists, et cetera.
If you look at the majority of my content on LinkedIn, the first comment is always, hey, if you like this post, subscribe to Shift Insider, which is my weekly email newsletter. So my goal on LinkedIn is twofold. One is to get you to subscribe to my newsletter. Because if you're subscribed and LinkedIn does jack up the algorithm again and I stop getting engagement and I stop getting likes, I still have you as an audience. Whether you see, and this actually is what happened when the algorithm changed for me, is there were people who regularly engaged on every single post that I put out. Like they were the ones I always could count on to like it and leave a comment. I would say probably about 50% of them were messaging me like, why aren't you on LinkedIn anymore? I'm like, I am. I'm always on LinkedIn. There's probably no one else besides two other people I know that are on LinkedIn more than I am. I'm there. You're just not seeing my content. And so that's why. And I've been doing content marketing for 20 years, even before like social media was a thing. It was all blog posts back then and GeoCities pages and all that kind of stuff. The same was true. Don't rely on media that you don't own. So don't rely on social media to always put your content in front of who you want to see, like who you want to see it. So what I, even when I started on LinkedIn, the goal was I'm going to launch an email newsletter and capture people's like contact information. That way, if I do ever decide, okay, LinkedIn isn't it for me, I'm switching to a different platform and I'm done with LinkedIn, I still have an audience that I can speak to and make money from. Like I say this all the time on LinkedIn, I make money every week from my content on LinkedIn. Now, LinkedIn doesn't write me a check and like, here, Jason, you did awesome content. Here's money. I wish they did, but it's people seeing the content, seeing the expertise I have, and then they send me a DM and they're like, hey, I need your help. But after I launched, so I launched my email newsletter in February of last year. No, it's February of last year. And right before COVID, which was the smartest thing I could have done. So really what's happened now is I make just about as much money through my email newsletter as I do through my content online. Because people, when they subscribe to your email newsletter, usually it's because they already believe you provide value and you provide something that they want. Because let's be honest, how many of us subscribe to email newsletters and then unsubscribe? Like I subscribe to get the discount code and then I get the discount code and I unsubscribe because I'm like, I don't want your crappy marketing emails. Let's be honest. But my email newsletter is basically my LinkedIn content on steroids. So I give out more practical advice. I give out more resources to my email list that I don't even ever post up on LinkedIn. And that was the goal. That way, if LinkedIn disappears tomorrow, I still can make money. And I think like for most people, if that's what you're on LinkedIn for, have a strategy to pull people off the platform and get it into an owned, like your own owned media. So your website, your email newsletter, just in an email list that you can regularly send even promotional emails to or whatever, however your system works, you need that owned media because you really cannot rely on social media to get it in front of the right people. But if you have an email list, you are, and I tell people this all the time, even if you don't open my email, you are seeing my name in your inbox every Monday morning. So what that, it's a branding tactic. Hmm. So you open your email Monday morning and Jason Vanna with Shift, I'm burying my name and my brand in the back of your head. Whether you open the email or not, even if you've never opened it and all you're doing is in your inbox, Jason Vant, delete. you're getting my name in the back of your head. You know that I am giving you marketing advice, whether you take it or not, whether you open it or not. My name is in the back of your head now because you're seeing it on LinkedIn. You're seeing it in your inbox. That, and now even on Twitter, that is the goal. So even if people never open it, they're seeing it and it's bearing your name in the back of their head. And that's, for me, I'm a brander and a content guy. Like that's when it comes to marketing, that's my thing. Strategy, branding, and content are the three things I do really well. And when I started the email newsletter, it partly was I'm going to pull people off LinkedIn and have their content or like their contact information. But then it was also, but I also want you to see my name on another platform regularly so that when you get to the point where you're like, I need marketing help, the name that's in the back of your head is Jason Vanna. And so that's why I do. That was my goal, was to do that, pull them off LinkedIn, have their contact information, and then use it to make money.
And that applies to any social platform. You have to have a full ecosystem, some kind of starting goal, starting with your audience, and then all the way to the end goal. There has to be that for wherever. And for LinkedIn, it's inherently easier to come up with that, I think, because it's a business professional platform. Yeah. And so you know that people on there, on average, like you can look at all the statistics, but on average, people on LinkedIn have more money than people on other social platforms, at least the ones that are active on there. So you can find an audience a little bit easier. But still, there are tons of people that are just throwing things out because everybody else is doing it without actually having the end goal in mind of getting them off the site. And so that's the hard part, balancing that, because the last thing that LinkedIn wants is for people to leave their site. The last thing you want is for people to stay on LinkedIn. So you have to find a way to please people and to please the algorithm. What tips do you have on creating content that actually accomplishes that balance?
Ooh, that's a good question. So really what I tell people is when it comes down to it, you have to know your target market. And I preach this all the time on LinkedIn. I'm sure there's some times where I'll put up a post and knowing your target market, and I can almost feel people's eyes roll in the back of their head. Like, oh my gosh, not again.
Ask Jason, yeah.
Yeah, but that really is what it comes down to. You have to know the people that you're going after, and you have to know this kind of content that they're going after. Otherwise, you're never going to grab them. You're never going to grab their attention. You're not going to be the one that goes from starting out with 10 likes on your post to up to 200, 300, 400, wherever you're heading. It has to be content that they find either entertaining or educating, or a mix of both. I focus more on the educational side because my target market are a bunch of startup owners, entrepreneurs, small business owners that are looking like they understand the importance of marketing, but they don't understand marketing itself. So they know they need to market, like do marketing, but what they've had all this advice of, you need to be on TikTok and you need to be here and you need to be there and you need to do this and you need to do that. And they're like, I can do two things. And I don't even like, the biggest question I get from my clients is, I know I need to do something. I have no idea where to start. Like, what is going to be most effective to me if I have limited budget and I want to put it to use? What's most effective? Do I do Facebook ads? Do I do content? Do I do a website? What is the most important? And so what I do, because that is my target market, is I teach them to do marketing themselves so they understand how this whole thing works. And that's what pulls people in for me. That doesn't mean it's going to work for you. That's my target audience. So you have to know your target audience, but then you also do need to know how the algorithm works. So a lot of people complain about this new style of post called broetry. That's the term they use. It's the like one sentence or like one line sentences, and it's all broken up. One, that's, if you do it that way, LinkedIn seems to give you more organic reach because people, it keeps them on your post longer. So it is a algorithm hack or trick, whatever, but it actually also is standard copywriting, like good copywriting. So they've done some psychological research on how people engage with content online, especially on like your mobile device. Like, how do people consume content on a mobile device. And what they have found is when you have a standard paragraph, 3 to 4 sentences, when they see that block of text on a mobile device, there is something in our brains, and this is true for everyone, that your brain doesn't want to read that wall of text. It wants to read maybe the first line and then skip down. And so if you do standard paragraphs like that, what happens is for your audience to continue reading that paragraph, they're literally expending more brain power just to read, not even comprehend, but just to read the words on the screen. But if you break it up and it's one sentence per line, their brain says, okay, boom, scan, and they can go down and they can read it a lot faster. So complain, like I tell people all the time that are like, oh, I hate your style. I'm like, my style is backed by science. Like 10 years of psychological research has shown that this is the best way for people to consume on mobile. And over 50% of people are consuming my content on mobile. So I can either be this like grouchy old man that says, well, I'm going to keep doing it the way I want to do it. And that's so dumb, which is what I hear a lot from people. Or I can say, you know what? I actually want my content to work. So I'm going to adjust my content to the way that people's brains work. And so it's things like that, even, and most people know this, don't ever put a link actually in your LinkedIn post, put it in the comments. Cause if it's in the link, LinkedIn, or if it's in the post, LinkedIn says, oh, you're trying to take our people off our platform. I don't want that to happen. So you're not going to get as much, I'm not going to show it to as many people. So put links in the comments. And then also, again, even with that, always test. It's changed since I've been on the platform. I used to use hashtags all the time. I don't. I barely do anymore because it used to be you could load your post up with hashtags and it worked. And then LinkedIn changed the algorithm. There was a minor change about a year ago where 3 hashtags was the most you want to do. And now it's hashtags still work, but if you put too many in there, it's still going to hinder your reach. So you really have to constantly be looking at the analytics of your post to see a month ago this worked. Now it's not. So now I'm going to stop and I'm going to try something different. So yeah, that, and don't ever do a mass tag of people on your posts. Like, I'm seeing this being a resurgence again on LinkedIn, and I want to take people and punch them in the face. If you don't know the person, if you've never engaged with their content, if they've never engaged with yours, stop tagging them in your posts. It's like walking up to a stranger you don't know and be like, here, read my stuff. Oh, this is who I am. Like, no one likes it. Like, right. I admit, like, all of a sudden, I've had people tagging me that I'm not even connected to, and they're tagging me in their content, and I'm like, I'm not even going to go like it. I don't want you to think that this is even an appropriate way to act on this platform. So don't tag 10 people in a post. That it's what I call, I have a term for that. It is, you are a like whore. You're on the platform. You're trying to get your dopamine hit. You just want a bunch of people to like your post. So you're doing whatever you can to get likes, and likes do not translate to money. And so if you're trying to make money on the platform, yes, the more people that see it, the more chance you get of making money. I understand that. But if all you're doing is putting out content to get likes, you're not going to get, it's why I'm against pods on LinkedIn. And I know you asked a different question and I'm just rambling, but I'm just keep going until you say, Jason, shut up.
No, this is good. This is all the technical stuff. That's, keep going.
Yeah. It's why I don't like pods. And straightforward, honest, I was in pods when I started on
me
LinkedIn.
Too. Yeah, me too.
Yeah, because I was told if you want your post to have reach, you have to be in a pod, because it's the, hey, if you get a bunch of people to like it when it posts, then it's going to track better. Mm-hmm. And so I believed it, and I jumped into like 2 pods. And what I found really quickly, though, was one, it was crap engagement. So I'd get a bunch of comments like, oh, great post. And Jason, I love your stuff. And it was like, even just personally, I'm more of a deep guy than I am a wide. Like, I would rather have really deep conversations with people than your kind of basic, I forget the term for it, but your basic conversations. Like, I'd rather have something deep. So even with that, it's like the only reason you're commenting is because you have to comment, because we're in a pod together. And what was happening was it was hindering the right people from seeing my content. So it was bringing me a lot of people who wanted more likes on their own content, but weren't really looking for the services I provided. So what I did was I pulled myself out of all the, I did about a month where I just stopped posting in the pods. Like I stopped posting the links to my content and was like, I'm just going to test this. And I started getting more engagement without the pods. And I started making more money. And I was like, why would anyone join a freaking pod? Like, I am making more money. Because here's the thing with pods. It doesn't give you a true representation of how your content is performing. So I can, if I'm in a pod, and I know people on LinkedIn, I could drop names, I'm not going to be that guy, but there, I know people on LinkedIn who are in like 20 pods. And the only reason they are getting 500 or more likes on their posts is because they have about 300 to 400 people that are guaranteed engagement their posts. Like, that's how they do it. Or they have VAs that go out there and are engaging on stuff for them. Here's the problem with that model. You don't know how your content's really performing. So if I am guaranteed 300 likes on my post, and I'm guaranteed like 200 comments, let's say, I don't know if my content is actually performing well because it's what my target market wants, or if it's because I have like obligated engagement on my post. And that's what was happening was it's why I call people who are after likes, like whores, because I was one myself. It was like, oh, if I get more likes, I'll get more business. And that's not how content works. It's if you do it towards your target market and you really focus on what they want, yes, you may get less engagement. You may get less likes. You may get less comments, but you make more money. And that's the thing that I have to help some of my clients with. I had one client I did a content strategy for him. His engagement dropped. Like he was getting 300-400 comments and likes per post, and now he gets about 50. So it dropped drastically, but he makes money on every single post. Mm-hmm. And I was like, so would you rather have the likes or would you rather have the money? He's like, money, hands down. He's like, I don't care if I don't have 500 comment or likes per post. I'm not here for the likes, I'm here for the money. And I would rather go full time on my own, like for my own business because of the content I put out than feel good because I got 500 likes and I beat out that other person with, I got more likes than them, so I must be more successful. No, I'm not going to drop names either because they're clients. I have clients who have done a content strategy with me who get 1,000 or more reactions per post, do far better than I do reaction-wise, but I make more money with my content than they do. Do not equate likes and comments with success. There are people, if you see them, they get 1,000 likes per post. I look at that and the first thing I do is I scroll through the comments and I'm like, okay, I wanna see why they're getting so many. And I can tell right away if you're in a pod and if most of that engagement is obligated, by looking at the comments and all I see is great posts and this is awesome. You just get the emoji like clap hand type thing. You're in a pod and I guarantee you I'm making more money with my content than you are. And that end of the day, like I did a post on this, which I don't know when you're going to publish this podcast, but when we're recording it, it was last week where I just flat out said, I'm on LinkedIn to make money. I'm not here to make friends. I'm not here to grow my network. Now that happens, and I've met a lot of awesome people on LinkedIn. I've made some great friends on LinkedIn. I've made business partners, like love it that way. But ultimately, the reason I invest time on LinkedIn is not so I can have more digital friends. It's so that I can make money. And if that's what you're trying to do with LinkedIn, if you are trying to use the platform to grow your business or make money, stop being a like whore. Stop letting it feed your dopamine rush and your dopamine addiction and be like, oh, I got to get more likes. I'm at this level and I'm more professional than that person. Why am I not getting more likes? Stop it and realize what you're here to do is to make money or generate leads, one of the or both. And there's a different strategy for that than there is just to get likes and comments. So that's where I focus on LinkedIn. And it's more of a strategic tell people this, if you ever see me post anything on LinkedIn, there's a reason behind it. So even when the algorithm changed, I put out a few posts complaining about the algorithm. And I had people like, I can't believe you're complaining about the algorithm. Just put out better content. I'm like, bro, you don't even understand. Look, I've been a content marketer for 20 years. I know what I'm doing. If I am posting a complaining post about the algorithm, it's not because I'm so upset and mad that the algorithm changed. I knew the algorithm was going to change. I knew this was going to happen at some point. The reason I'm doing it is I'm testing my content and I'm trying something. And what I found, and this is, I don't make this your content strategy, but if you complain about LinkedIn, that post will go semi-viral.
Yeah.
And I don't know why LinkedIn is like, you're complaining about our platform. We're going to put you in front of everyone, but they do. And so there's been times where my content has been like, maybe I'm not showing up as much or I'm seeing a dip. I'll throw up a post like, oh, I can't believe LinkedIn. Look at these stupid people. What's going on? And hashtag Sassy Jason. There's a reason, because it gives you a boost. And then what happens, what I've seen, is when I have one post do really well, the next few days, the next post do really well as well. And so sometimes when I'm launching a new product or there's a new guide I'm putting out or anything like that, something that I want people to see, I'll do a Sassy Jason post first, because those tend to be like, oh, I can't believe people DM me and blah, blah, blah. It's because like a lot of people want to complain. So they see that, they're like, yeah, I get that too. That sucks. Woo, Sassy Jason, woo. So I do that to get like the numbers high, and then the next few posts more people see it. And so it's a tactic. Like, yes, I am that sassy. Yes, if you do something stupid, I've had clients that are like, the thing I like about you is you called me out on my bullshit. I'm like, yeah, if you say, hey, I want my logo to look like this, I'm gonna tell you, no, you don't. Here's why. I know you think you do. Like, I had a client, and I share this story a lot, and he's fine with it because this is the testimonial he gave for my website. He came to me and he's like, I want a logo that has like a phoenix wrapped around the world and doing this. And I'm like, no, you don't. Yeah, I think that's really cool. No, it's not. Maybe in the 90s it was cool. Today, it's not. The people are going to look at you and be like, you are ridiculous and you are from the 90s and I don't want to trust you. That's who I am. I'm going to call you out on your BS when I need to call you out on your BS, because it's a bad, what you're doing is the wrong tactic. So it's me, but it's me strategic. I am going to use it to boost the posts that come after it. So if you watch, a lot of times Sassy Jason posts come out right before I'm selling a guide. There's a piece of content that I really want to perform well. A Sassy Jason post will come first because it's a tactic. It's a strategy.
Hopefully everybody was taking notes there, because you basically just gave away like the whole playbook for LinkedIn content.
Well, I did.
Jason, I really appreciate you coming on. There's tons and tons of value in this, and I do want to give you a chance to chat about where people can find you on LinkedIn or elsewhere, and also anything else you're working on that you have coming up.
Yeah. So obviously one of the best places to find me is LinkedIn, because I'm always there. I did also just recently launch my brand new website, Shift. So without the I, because I was trying to be cool when I came up with the name, regret it, but shft.marketing. New website is up, going to be posting a lot of content there as well. You can subscribe to the Shift Insider, which is my weekly newsletter that goes out every Monday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. It is my LinkedIn content on steroids. So you get more practical advice. I expound on my LinkedIn content, and you get resources in there that you don't get on LinkedIn. And then probably, I don't know when this is going to launch, but probably right around the time that this goes live, I will also be launching Shift Insider Plus, which is the Patreon community that I'm building, where it'll be LinkedIn content on steroids is my Shift Insider content, on more steroids is Shift Insider Plus. So it's going to be $10 a month, and I'm going to be doing more content, more like articles and all that, but I'll also be doing videos where people who are subscribed and in the community, I'll be picking people at random every month to do like a breakdown on their website, a breakdown on their LinkedIn content. So things that I normally charge like $250 a month or $250 a pop for, if you're in the community, you get a chance to win it for free, and I'll do it and then use it as a way to tell people like, this is how your content should be. This is how your website should be. So I'll be doing that. And then once a month, Q&A time on Zoom where they can ask their questions and I will answer them for them. I've got a lot going on. Lastly, we also do, so myself, Ned Eric, and David Riggs, every Saturday at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, we are on Clubhouse doing the Revenue Roundtable, which is we get on there, we share a little bit of advice from ourselves just to get the conversation going. And then if you bring your revenue questions, we will answer them in Clubhouse. So it's basically a consultation with sales, website and operations and marketing that you can get free advice from us who have been doing it for years and building revenue for companies. Come in, jump into the room. Like I said, 1 p.m. Central Standard Time every Saturday. And yeah, get your questions answered for free.
Nice.
So that's the best place to find me.
Those are the best places. All 30 of them. I appreciate you coming on, Jason. And you forgot to mention the special code that you have for the Patreon group. If you use code Blake, you'll actually, instead of charging $10 a month, you'll get it for $12 a month. So code Blake.
Exactly. And then Blake gets $2 of that. So if you want him to keep putting out awesome podcasts like this, you need to pay this man, because I know just from this, you're going to make lots of money if you implement what I said, and not even talking about the Twitter and the digital products that you're also sharing on in your podcast. Like, pay this man money, guys. This is ridiculous.
Appreciate you, Jason. It's good to talk to you again. And we'll have to have you on again soon. Maybe you can tell us the Clubhouse stuff that you're learning.
Thank you for listening to How I Built My Audience. If you found something noteworthy or interesting in this episode, remember to subscribe wherever you get your podcast. And hey, share it with a friend.